PodPoint was founded in 2009. And they've worked with Barclays at every stage of their journey. With our business funding support, they've gone from startup to operating one of the largest networks of electric vehicle charging points in the UK. We even helped coordinate and sponsor their IPO.
You have arrived at the London Stock Exchange.
Grow your business. Bank on Barclays. Search Barclays Business Banking.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 4 minutes after 12, and the final hour of the week that we will spend together. I will be off tomorrow, and indeed on Monday, but back with you on Tuesday. So make the most of it. Fill your boots, as it were. Mystery Hour is a bit different from the rest of the week. It's unique in many ways, and I shall tell you why. It's not really linked to the news in any way, shape or form. It's largely apolitical. You do most of the work. I just sort of sit here, put my feet up and enjoy the ride. It's eminently simple in that someone rings in with a question, then someone else rings in with an answer. Latterly, of course, there's been a prize, the favourite contribution of the week, my favourite contribution of the week, and management's decision is final, wins a Mystery Hour board game, which is a wonderful new addition to the panoply, to the universe of board game based fun. And you can find the full terms and conditions for that competition at lbc.co.uk. Phone lines are open, and because we weren't on the phones in the last hour, but in the last quarter of the last hour, it was just Henry and I, it means you've got a better chance of, well, until about now, when everyone will go, oh God, it's Mystery Hour, I forgot, and then the phone lines will explode. But if you're really, really quick, you might be able to snuck in. The bar is high, remember, although Jake is in the chair today and he is not a veteran of Mystery Hour, so you might be able to smuggle through some old nonsense because he's not that experienced and Keith isn't paying attention. In which case, I'll get very, very cross with them, not with you, in a slightly performative and unconvincing fashion. But the point, 25 years old for the Gruffalo. Sorry, Stephen. There we go. Let's not turn that into a mystery. 25 years old for the Gruffalo. It's a cracker, isn't it? It's probably not my favourite. What's your favourite Julia Donaldson, Axel Scheffler collaboration? I'd probably go for, very fond of Squash and a Squeeze. But what's the one with the whale? Is it the whale and the snail? The whale and the snail. The whale, that's very good as well. But I digress. You can find out more about the board game at mysteryhour.co.uk. In fact, you can buy it there, which is really the main point of me mentioning it. So you ring in, you ask a question, someone else rings in, they answer it. If you are supremely qualified to provide your answer, if, in other words, someone asks a question about toasters, and you or possibly your grandfather actually invented the toaster, then you will receive the highest accolade. Oh, stick man. Yeah, good one, Marchie. You will receive the highest accolade available on the radio anywhere in the world. And we've had this checked, and it's true. It's the highest accolade available anywhere in the world. Some radio stations give away money. Some of them are in this building. But nobody, money doesn't buy you happiness. And as the Beatles famously observed, it can't buy you love. What can buy you both happiness and love is a Ray Liotta, the award that we reserve for the most supremely qualified contributors to Mystery Hour. And you're only going to hear about half a dozen of them a year. But when you do, the earth moves. Shall we crack on? Shall we get going? Lee's in Carlisle. Lee, question or answer?
Hi, James. Question.
Carry on.
I remember about a month ago you mentioned floor polish brought back really strong nostalgic memories, certain smell of floor polish.
Yeah, not very nice ones.
Well, either way...
I was queuing up outside my headmaster's study waiting to get beaten. Thanks for bringing that up, Lee.
Sorry, apologies.
That's all right, mate.
But either way, it got me thinking, why don't we recall smells from dreams? It's always auditory or mainly visual. Rarely, if ever, is it a smell.
Are you sure?
It's such a strong... sense.
Yes, it is.
Like it brings back such memories, doesn't it? A perfume or cut grass or cut a bread.
Does it? Are you sure it doesn't? I think you're right.
Can you recall? I'm trying now.
Just give me a minute.
Usually an alarm getting into the dream or...
Give me a moment. Just let me take visually. Let me take a second to myself. Hang on a second. No, I've got nothing. I think you're right. I'm trying to think. I've not had a... I tell you, I've started writing into work, Lee? I've started coming in on one of those. Have you got them?
I'm not Sigmund Freud, James.
No, I know you're not. It's not my dreams, but we go. There's a brewery near me. I go past the Fuller's Brewery in Chiswick on my bicycle. Do you have them in Carlisle? The little electric bikes, that electric aided bicycles that you can.
We're still drinking milk from the teat up here, mate. We're not. We're still down the mines, mate.
And I got the smell of the hops from the brewery, and that's precisely the sort of thing that you might expect to pop up in your dreams. And
I've
got nothing, and the biscuits from the sugar beet factory in Kidderminster when I was growing up. I mean, these are redolent nostalgic memories, so you'd absolutely expect to have them coming from your dreams.
I lived next door to a bakery most of my life.
That's nice.
Until I was about 19.
Lovely
literally
stuff.
Right next door, and yes, some of the mornings just cracking the bedroom window open and getting there.
Well, there we go. So why do we not have smells in our dreams? I'm pretty sure we don't. And if it might just be you and me, but it seems unlikely. I think we're probably quite a representative sample. Smells in dreams. Just having quite rightly castigated me for my southern-based biases, you do have the electric bikes in Carlisle.
No.
You don't?
No, I haven't been in the town centre for a while.
No, I'm just checking, because I think when you live in a big city, you think everybody's got everything, but sometimes you can't even get an Uber in some parts of the country. So I just mentioned it here. You can, scan a QR code, hop on a bike, and then it's electric-aided and ride it wherever you want. They're not that good value in the great scheme of things, unless you're buying passes and doing... Why am I talking about? Let's just crack on with mystery. Sorry, Lee. John's in Dundee. John, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
What do you call a female priest? Now, what title? What I mean is, what title do you give a female priest? A male priest is a father.
Yeah.
What title is a female priest?
Reverend.
Is it? Okay.
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
I don't know.
Well, it's not going to be mother, is it? I wouldn't have thought.
No, that was sort of the flippant answer I was going to give myself.
But this wouldn't be flippant, because you have a reverend mother in a convent. As a mother, Mother Teresa was a mother, but I don't... And one noun would be priestess, wouldn't it? But you don't address a priest as Priest John.
No.
So you address him as Father John, or Father James.
So it's what
we could be here a while if you're going to go through all the names, John.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to. So it's what would you then call... The female.
I'm 99% sure it's Reverend, but I can't. I can't take a round of applause for that, actually, because I can't prove it to you. I don't know. I can prove it to you. I've got some on my Twitter feed. I'm followed by Reverend, female Reverends, and they call themselves Reverend.
That'll
do. Happy now?
Thank you. Yeah,
that lovely stuff. Round of applause for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, though.
Some people complain when I answer questions, but if you think about it, I can't win the ball game, so there might be a plus side to it. Rajdev is in Twickenham. Rajdev, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Arachnophobia is commonly regarded as the most common phobia, and
is
many
it?
People.
Where do you get that from? Where do you get your figures from? Name your sources.
I haven't got them to hand, unfortunately. You're gonna have to take my word on that. But a lot of people have effectively a neurological trigger in the brain that, the body sees up if they see a spider. So it's a known sort of a condition, if you like. My question is, why is it spiders that human beings are largely afraid of and not other very, very dangerous animals and organisms that, we experience, possibly much more dangerous than a spider?
Well, I mean, the most obvious answer, which you've kind of alluded to, is poison, isn't it? They're poison. It's an evolutionary response to poison, I think, isn't it?
Certainly, but there are very... Well, you're talking about venom rather than poison, I assume.
Yeah, that's all crikey. Get Rajdev, well played. I am talking about venom rather than poison. You assume correctly, Rajdev. Well done.
But there are many more venomous creatures on the planet than spiders. I don't think spiders have that many... venomous breeds compared to the amount of spiders there are in the world. So that was really
my question. Maybe they were more prevalent then. Maybe just you're more likely to encounter a spider, and therefore exposure becomes your sort of rationale here. What would be your go-to most venomous creature?
Snakes.
People aren't very fond of snakes either, are they?
But no, that's true, but it's not...
I'm not sure that... I mean, depending on where you were in the world, because I see some hilarious clips on Online of people putting fake snakes in, and some people run a bloody mile when they think there's a snake near them. So there is a, I mean, anything that can kill you is probably the answer, that there is some sort of evolutionary trigger for anything that can kill you simply by being in the same space as it, surely.
And bears, hippopotamuses, crocodiles, they all can kill you, but we don't have that same...
Yeah, but not... No, they can't really creep up on you, Rajdev.
No. I mean, yeah.
Except, possibly if they're on tiptoes. So why are we hardwired to fear spiders? I don't know what the answer is going to be, other than the fact that spiders are hardwired to kill us. But, I mean, if we're going to put them in a hierarchy of why are spiders higher than others, then we'll put it... When I was rat-phobic, which I don't think is the technical term, I went through a period of being really rat phobic, and then we actually had rats in a house we lived in ages ago, and I got cured. Not cured, but I no longer live in... If a rat runs across the towpath when I'm walking up the canal, I don't jump into Mrs. O'Brien's arms anymore like I used to do. Mesophobia. Esophobia. Say it again?
Musophobia.
Why can't you just write it on the screen? Musophobia. I was walking up the road, and a big fat leaf got blown across the doorway of Robert Dias, and I actually screamed out loud. It was incredibly embarrassing. So that is like a rat, of course, carries poison. You don't need me to tell you that, bubonic plague. And that must be something inside, like a sense memory, an evolutionary memory, is thinking rat, poison, death. And then just the leaf, just in the corner of your eye, that kind of movement was enough to trigger me. Maybe spiders fit into that kind of category as well. I'll tell you what, you don't get this content anywhere else, do you? Not even with David Attenborough.
Don't miss Anne Hathaway.
It's like there's a big hole in my heart.
And Jessica Chastain.
You need to separate the grief from the guilt.
In Mother's Instinct.
What guilt, Alice?
This year... There's no love.
Something's broken inside of me.
Like a mother's love.
She manipulates people, and you don't even see it.
You're losing touch with reality.
Leave my family alone!
Mother's Instinct. In cinemas now. Rated 15.
Shimmy your savings into a Wealthify stocks and shares ISA. Use our online sliders to help build an investment plan that suits you. And then we'll manage the rest. And to help you get started, you could earn between £50 and £500 cash back. Nice. Go on. Wealthify your ISA at wealthify.com. Wealthify is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Cashback varies by total value of deposits or transfers. Minimum investment applies. Offer closes 20th of May. New customers only. T's and C's apply. Capital at risk.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:18. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Mystery Hour is underway. Some quibbling over priests and priestesses. I don't know. I think you call a priest a vicar in the, but you have priests outside the Catholic Church. It's a descriptive term as much as it is a title. So a female priest in the Anglican community is just known as Reverend rather than Father. So I don't think you're picking up on a fair criticism there. But if I'm wrong and you're right, I'll correct the record immediately. But I'm pretty sure that Justin Welby would call himself a priest. When was Henry II count? It was before the reference, so that doesn't count, does it? Anyway, on we go. Philip's in Maidstone. Philip, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Philip.
It's about the priest.
Oh, flipping heck. Honestly, I thought... Carry on.
My wife is a priest. Technically not a vicar, because she doesn't have a church yet.
Okay.
So that you become a vicar when you get the church, I think.
I never knew that. You live and learn. You could be opening a right can of worms here, you know, because you're not 100% sure about that, are you?
Right. I'm 99% sure on that. What I am sure on is Reverend is a catch-all term.
Yes.
Depending on your tradition, a female priest can answer to father or mother or reverend.
Have you ever met a father?
A lady who will answer to father?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife will.
But does she call herself that?
She says she's completely easy on whatever you would refer to her. She would refer to herself as Reverend Anthea.
Yeah, that's what I said. But if someone called her father, she's not... Well, all you're telling me, Phil... Is that if someone called her father Anthea, she's not going to ignore them?
No, because she said the term it depends on your tradition.
ABBA.
She's not too fussed on the tradition, so she'll answer to any of them.
I think it comes from ABBA.
Go on.
No, it's not even a joke. I think, isn't it ABBA father in biblical language? ABBA? ABBA? Abbas? ABBA? I don't know. I may have just made that up. I don't know. But it may be a gender-neutral term. Don't tell the Daily Mail. They'll be banning Christianity next. Banning priests. All right, qualifications, married to a priest. It's not many fellas can
married
say that. There's not many fellas that can say that, although more than there used to be, Philip.
Absolutely.
Round of applause.
Good.
Do you get a title? Do you get a title?
No, I just get all the jobs.
That's outrageous. A round of applause for Philip, please.
Oh, thank you very much.
So your wife's a vicar, my wife's a saint. Sorry. Zolka's in Hamburg. Zolka, question or answer?
Question, please.
I was quite pleased with that, Zolka, but on we go. What have you got?
It's another smell-related question.
Oh, yes.
I was wondering, why do we have two nostrils?
You see,
we have two eyes, so we can see in 3D.
Yes.
We have two ears, so we can locate where sound comes from. But yes, these two nostrils are so close together that...
I think what you've done, I think that you have focused entirely upon one function of the nasal passages as opposed to the other one.
You mean breathing?
I do.
But what good is then that we have two of them?
Well, what is in your nostrils?
I don't want to say.
Well, no, not bogies, the other things, the things that the bogies hang on to. What's in your nostrils?
That's hair.
Yes. And what purpose does the hair serve?
To filter the air.
And if you had one massive nostril instead of two little ones, how effective would that filtering process become? I like the way you just tested it. So that must be the that must be the reason, no?
I don't know. I was always wondering, because everything that is twice has a specific function on the body.
No, again, you've done it again. You've gone down the wrong road.
Okay.
You don't need two nipples.
I'm not fully convinced. Oh, maybe I have two kids.
Oh, that's, but they could take it in turns. So it's just more efficient.
Quite an unexpected turn.
Now, nipples are quite a good example, because nipples are it's more efficient to have two nipples, and it's more efficient to have two nostrils, but it doesn't actually, materially change their function in the way that it does with eyes doubling up and ears doubling up. Eyes and ears and knees and nose, head, shoulders, knees and toes. Also, what if one's blocked, the other one works, you see, quite often? Whereas if your massive mono nostril got blocked, you'd be in a lot more trouble. I'll put it on the board, but I'm more pleased than you are with my answer, Zolka.
Yes, I'm not fully convinced.
I sense that.
Halfway.
I sense that. Do you know, an opportunity we missed. Abba is indeed the Hebrew word for father, Aramaic, I think, word for father. So with you and your splendid name, from Abba to Zolka, we literally, in the space of two phone calls, we went from A to Z. Look at that. That doesn't happen very often on the programme. Zolka, have a lovely weekend. 24 minutes after 12. Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Head, shoulders. So these are all doubles, you see. And eyes and ears and... Yeah. Assad's in Ealing. Assad, well, heads, they've only got one head at the moment, depending on the state of the British waterways, but that was covered in the first hour. Question or answer, Assad in Ealing?
I have a question, James.
Carry on.
Okay, my question is about fruit. I really enjoy eating fruit.
I was in a pub the other day, Assad, in Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And I had a gig in the theatre, the new Wimbledon Theatre, where I was incredibly well looked after. So thank you to everybody involved in the Wimbledon Literary Festival. But that's a very loud indicator you've got there.
I beg your pardon.
That's all right. You can't control it. It's not your fault. You can hardly put it. It's not got a volume control. So I was in a pub. It was in the bottom of the travel lot, like, you know, one of those pubs in the bottom of a hotel. And yeah. I had a mineral water, a fizzy mineral water, because I had an event and I don't like to have a proper drink before an event. And guess what happened after I ordered my fizzy water, and she brought it and she said, "Would you like ice?" And I said, "No." And at the end of that exchange, she said, "Would you like some fruit?"
Ooh.
Has that ever happened to you in a pub?
No, never happened.
Would you like some fruit? And I had to double check. I said, would I like? I said, pardon? She said, would you like some fruit? And I said, fruit? And she goes, yes, fruit. I said, no, I'm trying to give it up. But why? I've never had that before in my life. I don't know whether it was a particular promotion that was going on in that particular chain or that particular branch, or whether she was just a gardener and she'd brought in some of her own fruit. So anyway, I like fruit as well, although you reminded me that I had turned it down the last time I was offered some by someone I'd never met before. What do you want to know about fruit, Asad?
Okay, so what's your favourite fruit, James?
That's not a mystery hour question.
No, but that will help me to...
Oh, I see. Pineapple.
Okay, so sometimes you have a pineapple and it tastes really nice, yeah, and juicy, and the flavour is just really good.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
I had one this morning. Well, not a whole one. That'd be weird, but I had a little tub of it, yeah.
But then on other occasions, you may eat a pineapple, and even though it's ripe and in season, it won't have that same taste.
Pineapples are quite a bad example for your theory, aren't they?
Why?
Well, I've never had a bad pineapple.
Oh, you do get soury pineapples.
Yeah, so I quite like that, though. I quite like a sour pineapple. I think what you want, really, to make things work is a pear.
Okay, let's go with a pear.
Or a melon. Okay. A melon.
Right, melon, pear, strawberry.
Strawberry. Strawberry's the best, actually, because they can be of equal softness. Some of them just go there, and others just don't. Strawberry, go on.
Okay, so regardless of the taste, whether you find it sour or just juicy or sweet,
yes,
will it have the same nutritional value?
Blimey.
So I eat fruit every day in the evening.
Yes.
And even if the fruit doesn't taste very good, I will eat it because I'm thinking that it's doing me good. It has a lot of vitamins.
Well, it's got the fibre amount in it is going to be the same, isn't it?
That's one part of the nutritional value of the fruit, right? How about, does it have this, will a bad tasting strawberry have the same nutritional value, minerals, vitamins, fibre, as a really nice...
Well, give or take it will. But
unless you can qualify that with your qualifications, you know, I would like to have an answer from someone with the required knowledge for me to have that confidence.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think I might have made a bit of a fool of myself with the fruit question, I said.
Why?
Well, some people are suggesting that she might have been offering me a slice of something to go in my drink.
Okay. I possibly couldn't comment about those.
But no one's ever said that to me before. No one's ever said, would you like some fruit? Would you like a slice of lemon? Or would you like...
No, you don't do that. You don't, particularly in the UK. It's
never
not very
said you
common,
want some
is it?
Fruit. And also, no. I'd already got my drink. Of course that's what she wasn't. If I was just, oh, yes, please, I'd love an apple. What would she have done? Or a pineapple, actually, to you. Yeah. Or a handful of blueberries. Do you think that's what she meant? Did she meant lemon or lime in my water?
Perhaps.
You don't care. You just want to know about the nutritional value, don't you?
I want someone to phone up with the answer.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's give them a chance. I'll stop. Oh, dear. So, would you like some fruit? Yes, please. I have a banana. And she just stuck a banana in my mineral water. Chris is in Manchester. Chris, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
On behalf of my son, Harry, who's next to me, he's been trying to get me to call him for years.
Hello, Harry.
He's on his half term now.
Lovely
Jim
stuff.
Jim says hello.
Hi.
Hi, he says.
Hello.
So he wants to know, why are roses synonymous with Valentine's Day? Like, why is it roses that are typically given?
I like that. I think it's a bit chicken and egg. I think roses have been linked with love forever.
Well, not forever.
Pretty much. And then Valentine. I think. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And because it's Harry. If it was you, I'd probably try and make something up and pass it off as the truth. But seeing as
you
Harry,
looking convinced.
I'm not going to get anything past Harry, am I? Let's not mess about here. He knows what's what. He knows nonsense when he hears it. I bet he knew exactly what that barmaid meant when she offered me some fruit. There's no doubt at all in his mind. He wouldn't have. Okay, why are roses and romance linked? Because if we know why roses and romance are linked, we know why roses and Valentine's Day are linked as well. Chris and Harry, you're on the list. All right, how old is Harry?
He's 10.
Top man.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It is 12:33 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where the mystery hour continues. Why do we not smell in dreams? What's the evolutionary explanation for the arachnophobia being, we believe, the most common phobia of them all? Why do we have two nostrils? I thought I'd done that satisfactorily, but Zolka was gloriously unimpressed, albeit politely. fruit, does the nutritional value of fruit change much according to how delicious it is? That was basically the question. So it's going to be something to do with sugar-fiber ratios. I'd be surprised if we get an answer to that. And why are roses associated with romance? All of those. Remember that my favourite contribution of the week wins a mystery hour board game. Although Chris has already played the 10-year-old son card. You see, these you think I don't know what you're playing at, Chris. I know it wasn't Harry's idea. He'd be far too honourable for that kind of shenanigans. But you thought your likelihood, your chances of winning the mystery hour board game would increase a bit if old Harry was in the car alongside you when you rang in for. And you may well be right, because I am a sucker. Penny is in Norwich. Lovely part of the world. Penny, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Penny.
Thanks, and hello. And I don't have a son, but I've got a fat cat called Pig, who is enthusiastically listening.
Okay, that's on the list.
The spiders. I did my thesis at college on why we have arachnophobia.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure there's a PhD out there that can top this, because it was a college thesis.
That's
but
all right.
It is a learned behaviour.
Is it?
It is, yeah. And actually, it's not the most common. The most common phobia is heights.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're scared of spiders because of the way they move. We don't like them because they move hydraulically.
And they move fast.
They move fast. Also, if you... The survey I did, I equalised the size of spiders and showed them to people and asked them which ones they were most scared of. And the most venomous ones actually come lower. It's the big, black, hairy ones that people don't like.
So there
and, of course, they are venomous. But we get bitten by snakes a lot more a year, 300,000 snake bites a year, far more dangerous.
Worldwide, not in Norwich.
No, not in Norwich. No. We've only got adders in Norwich, and I've never actually seen one.
No.
Yeah. So
that's it then. So they're weird and spidey, and that's why we don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, they're eight-legged. They are venomous.
Also, they can appear anywhere, can't they? What with their webs and everything. They can just sort of dangle down in front of you while you're minding your own. Is there one in here at the moment? They could have come from...
Yeah.
So that kind of thing is going to train you to be scared next time something moves into your
exactly.
field
they move
of
very
vision.
Fast. They don't like us. If people are scared of them and you're really bothered about them, then Lemon Pledge is a very good... Sorry, brand name. But it's a very good off-putter of spiders.
Is it really?
That's what they used in arachnophobia to herd the spiders because they were real spiders.
You live and learn.
Yeah.
Qualifications, did a thesis on it in college.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So Rajdev's premise was wrong, really.
Well, wrong about it being the most common.
No, but wrong about it being evolutionary as well, although it may have been me that said that. Maybe it wasn't him. But,
I mean, there is an evolutionary aspect to every fear, but most of it's actually inherited from the reactions of the people around us as we grow up because they're so scared of spiders.
That's probably certain. If your mum was terrified of spiders, you probably are too.
Absolutely.
Whereas your dad had to go and get them out of the bath and throw them out of the window. Or just squish them while pretending to throw them.
Oh, don't squish them.
No,
I wouldn't
do that. I just some people might squish them while pretending to throw them out the window. So they're, you know, they might do that. Round of applause for Penny, please, Keith. Well played, Penny. 12:37. Alex is in Burnham, in Buckinghamshire. Not the other ones. Question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Why do we say quid? You know, when we're talking about pounds, when we're saying we're buying something, I only cost a couple of quid. Why do we say quid? Where did that come from?
It's
think a good question, isn't it?
It's all right. It's all right. But I think it's a bit... I think it's just another word for... I think if you go back 400 years or more, it's just a word for a coin, a type of coin. Would be a quid, and for some reason it stuck.
Oh, okay.
As a pound for most of our life. How old are you?
I'm 26.
So you never knew this, but it used to not even be a coin. A quid used to be a paper. It used to be a note when I was your age. Not when I was.
Yeah,
your
I've
age.
Got one at home.
Have you got one? God, make me feel. Someone used to send me pound notes. It was a lovely lady. I can't remember why, but she used to send me. I think she sent me pound notes so I'd pay more attention to whatever else was in the envelope. But it didn't really work. I just used to take the pound note out and say, thank quick quid. Yeah, I think, well, someone else will know, but I think it will just be the word for a coin back in the day. So it became, the plural would become 10 quid. But it is a good question. And it's a word we use, all of us almost probably use every single day without ever thinking about where it comes from. So
yeah,
we like
I
that.
Thought about it the other day and just thought, yeah.
Quid. I'll ask James. 12:38 is the time. No, good work. Why do we call a pound a quid? Why do we associate roses with romance? How much effect... Well, is there any relationship between flavour and nutritional value of fruit? Why do we have two nostrils? We've done the spiders, we've done the priest, and why don't we smell in our dreams? Carl is in Prescott. Carl, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
Right, I collect watches. Got a few mechanical ones, but most of them are battery-powered.
Okay.
When I put them in storage, I don't wear them.
Yeah.
If I pull the crown out, does the battery last longer?
What's the crown?
The bit you spin around to set the time.
Ah. Whoa. That's a bit niche.
I'm sick of buying batteries.
I mean, no, but you're the watch collector. Why are you asking me? You should know this. This is, you're the kind of person who should ring in to answer this question, not ring in to ask it.
I'm not that technically into them, just like the look of them, so...
Do the crowns always come out?
Yeah.
Is that... Because mine fell out the other day. I took it to the bloke in Piccadilly Circus and he put a new one in. And he's done a really nice job, actually. Why would it? Why would the battery stop working? Can't you tell? Oh, because you haven't got... Well, can't you just tell? Can't you do a little test? It'd only take 5 minutes.
I can't test the power of the battery if I just pull it out, can I? It takes ages.
Yeah, but if you pull it out and then it stops and then 5 minutes later you go back and the time hasn't changed and the battery's not being used. Have I misunderstood the question? It's like that.
Possibly, I don't know.
It's like the woman in the pub asking me about fruit. Well, so why would you not just pull the arm out and then if it doesn't stop, then the battery's still working?
I'm not too sure if something's going on behind the scenes that I don't know.
Well, nor am I now. But if the battery is working, the hands will move, right?
Yeah.
And if the battery is not working, the hands will not move.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if when you pull the crown out, does that deactivate something in the battery so the energy of the battery doesn't drain?
So the hands might not be moving, but the battery might still be draining, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, Lord above, this is an odd question, Carl. Can't you ask one of your fellow watch collectors?
I'm not that big. I don't like to have some mad catalogue. I just buy quite a few watches.
I mean, who's going to know the answer to this? God, well, actually, quite a lot of people probably were. It breeds enthusiasm. Do you do it for financial reasons?
No, just like collecting. It's mainly Swatch watches that I've got and a few other different mechanical watches. But
okay, so I've got quite a few of them. So you're not doing it because they appreciate in value. They're very good thing, aren't they? For like, if you're a massive international criminal, watches are quite a good currency to elude, to evade the authorities and to money launder and stuff like that. I used to love Swatches. I used to have loads of Swatches at one point. I had a see-through Swatch. What's the rarest?
They've got a lovely range out at the moment. They've done a mashup with Omega.
Really?
And there's like a set of 12, and I really like them. But I've got about 5 of them, and every time I put them away, I think, is the battery going to be there when I come back, or do I leave it running?
Why don't you just take the battery out, Carl?
Because on them watches, I've got like a special battery cover, and I don't want to chip it or anything like that. So
you've got an answer for everything, haven't you?
Sorry.
No, I love I think I'm being all clever, and every single thing I think of, you've obviously been there first, because they're your watches. All right, you're on the list. If you pull the crown out, does it stop the batteries from being used? Does it save the batteries, in other words? Now, I mentioned at the beginning of Mystery Hour this week that Jake was in the chair and that he hadn't done it before. There are two questions that I usually use as... And I also said that Keith wouldn't be paying attention. There are two questions that I have always used in the past as things that you do never, ever ring in with on Mystery Hour. One of them is, why don't you ever see white dog poo? And the other one is, Mia in Victoria, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Why do you never, ever see baby pigeons?
There
you
it is.
Geese?
There, yeah, you do.
Pigeons. Not other birds, just pigeons.
I know. Well, you don't see baby robins, do you?
You might.
You don't.
Given the amount of pigeons you see around,
you don't see baby crows. You don't see baby crows, and you don't see baby seagulls.
Is that because their nests are very high up, and they don't want them to come down?
Yep, or not even that high up. They stay in the nest until they can fly, and as soon as they can fly, they look like grown-ups.
I'm not sure that's the correct answer.
Well, it's the only one you're going to get.
Says you.
Well, yes, says me. And my word is law.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Okay, what's your theory?
I don't have a theory. That's why I'm asking.
Well, you're very condescending about my theory, considering you have no theory. Well, of course that's the answer. You do see, you, I mean, you see adolescent pigeons and you see young pigeons, but you can't tell because we're not experts in aging pigeons. But the reason why you never see a pigeon that can't fly is because it's in the nest. If you wanted to see a baby pigeon, you just have to find a pigeon's nest full of pigeons that can't yet fly, an unfledged pigeon.
Has anyone ever seen a pigeon's nest?
Yes. Next question.
When did you see a pigeon's nest?
17th of April, 2017.
Stewards Inquiry.
No Stewards Inquiry at all. I got a round of applause for me. Thank you, Mia. And there it is. 0345 6087. Jake, did you hear that little exchange, or were you busy pretending to be on the phone? The two questions that we never, ever, 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 ever have on Mystery Hour. 12:45 is the time. You don't see dead ones either. We actually did this once. You don't see dead ones either, because they'll get picked up very, very quickly by foxes and other predators. But you do. And my inbox, and I've said it on the radio again, so it's going to happen again. For about a week afterwards, every time someone saw a dead pigeon, they sent me a picture of it. I don't want to see your pictures of dead pigeons. A, I'm not weird. And B, when you've seen one dead pigeon, you've seen them all.
Not shopped at Ocado, but you've heard it's the best. Now you can shop for 25% less and groceries delivered free to your address. There's an Ocado just for you.
First time customer, get 25% off your grocery shop and free delivery.
There's an Ocado just for you.
New customers only. Minimum spend £60. Max saving £20. Geographical restrictions apply. Conditions at Ocado.com. Verify at info@OcadoRetail.com.
Your future, full of possibilities, like travelling the world or welcoming a new member to the family. Unlock your potential with an investment portfolio managed by Nutmeg, built with your financial goals in mind, with access to free financial guidance whenever you need it. Make the most of your ISA allowance by the 5th of April before it resets. Invest in your future today. Search Nutmeg ISA. Capital at risk. Tax treatment depends on your individual circumstances and may be subject to change.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
12:49 is the time. Some breaking news for you. They have run out of the cheese-flavoured hot cross buns in Wimbledon's Morrison's. They're probably dropping them in drinks. No, it doesn't work. Thank you, Joe, for that. I don't know why we didn't put Yvonne's story in the news. The fact that they are actually delicious, although the Daily Telegraph managed to find some self-professed Christian to complain about them. Because that's what Jesus would want. If Jesus was with us today, he'd be looking at some of the situations in the world and he'd be thinking to himself, I hope that a Christian organisation takes some time out of their busy schedule to complain about Morrison's selling cheese-flavoured hot... No, it's hot cross bun-flavoured cheese, not cheese-flavoured hot cross buns. Don't be disgusting. It's hot cross bun-flavoured cheese, which Morrison's currently has for sale, but not, I stress, in Wimbledon. Although I have to tell you that that came in at 12:33. So the situation may have been rectified in the last 17 minutes. It's practically the travel news, this, but with hot cross bun flavoured cheese instead. Zoe's in Fife. Question or answer, Zoe?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Zoe.
Okay. Why is it that when you're looking at, say, an island, you know, across water...
Is it in the stream? An island in the stream?
An island, yes.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
It can look closer or further away on different days.
The same island?
The same island, yeah. I grew up opposite the Isle of May in Fife.
Yes.
And it was a view out my bedroom window. And depending on the day, it would look look closer or further away.
That's interesting.
And the same when I remember having a holiday in Venice, and from Murano, Venice looked closer or further away, you know, from one day to another.
Well, I mean, would it not just be the clarity, you know, like the humidity or the...
It could be the humidity, but I've got a strong feeling it's more complicated than that.
Have you really? What, like the curvature of the Earth or something like that?
It could be, but I'd really like to know.
It's quite near. What if it's just you?
It's definitely not me.
How do you know?
Because I've always lived on the coast. And at the moment, I live in Tayport, which is just across the Tay from Dundee and Broughty Ferry, and it looks different on different days. And people comment on it. People say on the coast.
Okay, looks further away. Okay, yeah. I like that. That's a great question. I hope we've got time to get you an answer. So
thank you.
So a little bit of me there thought we might be going down. Do you remember when they were trying to explain to Father Dougal in Father Ted why the cows looked further away and nearer? Did you ever see that episode?
I did not see that particular episode,
just
no.
as well, actually, to be honest, because that was quite an insulting thing to be reminded of by your question. But as it turned out, your question wasn't anything like that at all and was perfectly valid. And hopefully we will get an answer. I will actually accept pictures of baby birds. Those are gorgeous little robins. So you do see them. In fact, you do see baby pigeons, but you don't know that they're baby pigeons because you don't know enough about pigeons to know that that pigeon is actually technically a baby. If it can fly, Jake, you're in so much trouble for putting that question through. Seriously, you know, I don't know what you're laughing about, Keith. You're supposed to be the gatekeeper. Keith is another Keith. This is I'm being haunted. This one's in Streatham Hill. Keith, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James. It's an answer for you.
How old are you, Keith?
56.
Yeah, fair enough. Carry on. No, we're just always on the lookout for very young Keiths on the programme. So
yeah, 56, no, I'm not one of those, I'm afraid.
The world's young. What's the youngest we ever found? We found a very young. Anyway, quickly.
We found one at 13, I think.
I think we did find a 13-year-old Keith, didn't we? It's an amazing achievement.
It's a Scottish connection, Steve,
yes, I think you're right. Really. I think they're different. Yeah. They do things differently there. Watches. Watches.
Watches, yes. The short answer to his question is, it depends on the watch.
Oh, spoil.
But yes. I do know the particular watches that he's referring to. They're very nice.
Yes.
It's a great collaboration that they've done.
Yes.
And that, by pulling the crown out, will not work.
Oh.
What happens is, when you pull the crown out, it engages a lever,
yes.
which acts as a brake on one of the wheels.
Right.
So the battery is still supplying the power to the rotor and
yes.
through the stator, and it's still pumping the power through, and it's not going to affect the length of the time of the battery.
So it's going to run down at the normal speed?
Yes, it would. 2 to 3 years, you'd probably get a life out of the battery on that.
Love it.
There are a few watches that, when you pull the crown out, it cuts off the electrical supply to the cell. So that can happen, but it's very few.
And definitely not on the ones that...
definitely not on the ones he's collecting.
That Carl was
but
asking
really,
about.
He should leave the battery in, let them run, because the oil inside is flowing around, rather than just getting them to seize up over years. He should just let the batteries run, but make sure he changes it when it stops in the 2 to 3 years' time.
Okay.
Because after that, the cells can leak and destroy the insides of the watch.
Qualifications?
Horologist to the stars, 40 years.
That'll do nicely. Horologist to the stars. Do you have a shop, or do you only do
I don't,
home,
no.
home
I work
visits?
For Swiss companies, and
You're a hardcore horologist, aren't you? I can tell you're being modest about your... No, you know what? I mean, you seriously are.
I've asked a couple of your horology questions before.
I know you have.
Bond Street, yeah.
I know. Yeah. Well, but you were based in Bond Street. We're going back a while now. You used to email me a lot.
We are. I did, yes.
Well, I don't even read my emails anymore because I get so many. That's not me being Billy Big Bananas. That's just it's impossible to keep track.
Immensely.
So, I've got to look at that. Round of applause for Keith. Great work.
Thank you.
Great. Well, I had a question for you once, and I thought next time he rings in or next time he emails me, I'll ask you, and I've completely forgotten what it was.
It's always the way.
It is, isn't it? I'll remember the minute that the show ends today, or probably the minute I say, thank you, Keith, goodbye. Neil is in, Neil Rankin in Tower Hamlets. Neil Rankin, as you will know, is one of the country's leading chefs, which means that you are probably here to answer the...
Fruity one.
The fruit question. How are you, Neil?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. What have you got?
So, I suppose there's two answers to this. One, the ripeness of it could make a difference, but very small difference, because they'll be picked very closely together.
Yes.
Timeline. So I wouldn't think it would significantly be different, because we've made in the same place, the same sort of soil, same weather.
Yeah.
But taste difference generally means that it could be two things. One, a really high water content, which means that there is less nutrients.
Yes.
Or it's bad soil or bad sunlight or bad climate that they've been growing in, which would mean less nutrients all around. So it is a really good indicator of nutrients, is flavour.
Oh, okay. So yes and no, really, is your answer.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, ripe, if it's ripe, but he said it wasn't to do with ripeness. So if it still feels fully ripe and it doesn't taste as good, like if you buy an expensive tomato, it will taste really good. If you buy very cheap tomato,
yes.
which is grown with a really high yield and lots of things within the same amount of soil, then it will have less nutrients
just less flavour.
It's really that simple. A tasteless tomato is it really just spread the same amount of nutrients far too thinly.
Yeah, interesting. If you think about a really expensive tomato, usually has more nutrients in it than a smaller one. So like a value tomato.
Yes,
so
of course.
A lot of them are actually the same price per amount of tomato in it.
So it's a brilliant question then.
Yeah, it's quite a good question.
I like that a lot. Right, qualifications?
Chef and really nerdy about fruit and vegetables recently on Instagram, so I did a lot of research.
I love it. Round of applause for Neil, please. Look at that. I was trying to think of something then. I tasted something the other day that was just obscenely delicious. And it wasn't a tomato, but it was something that you'd eat all the time and you suddenly realise you can actually have. I'll tell you what it was. It was nothing to do with fruit or vegetables. I was at the Maids of Honour tea shop in Kew. And every single thing they serve in the Maids of Honour tea shop is like the perfection of that thing. Whether it's a cucumber sandwich or a scone or a chocolate eclair, you know, Sheila, when you eat a chocolate eclair, normally the cream all squeezes out the edge. You know, a proper chocolate eclair shouldn't do that.
Doesn't happen, yeah.
The Maids of Honour tea shop in Kew, there
it is. I don't know, I should go there. I live quite near there.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
Oh, I'm on my way.
The pie, the quiche, everything. You know, with a quiche, the pastry would normally be... Oh, anyway. Joanna's in Bromley. Joanna, question or answer?
It's an answer,
Carry on, James.
And embarrassingly, it's the answer to the dream question. Can you smell in your dream?
Yes.
I had a dream just last week that I was... The doctor refused to treat me because I had incredibly smelly feet.
Oh.
And I could smell how disgusting they were in my dream. And I hasten to add, my feet are not smelly.
Well, I never. Had you bought any... hot cross bun flavoured cheese from Morrison's recently.
I can only think that would make things worse.
Yes, so can, but I'm wondering if there was anything smelly in your room at the time and the dream caught up with the sense, because that happens sometimes.
My daughter thought it was an anxiety dream.
Yeah, it certainly is. Right, qualifications. I smelt feet in my dreams. That's a first.
Yes, that's okay. It.
That's got you a round of applause, China. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I hope you feel better soon. Who's my favourite? I think I'm going to give it to Keith, the horologist, partly out of loyalty reasons, because he has been on board forever, and I used to love his emails, and because I don't really read emails anymore, it's just nice to make contact with him. And he's helped me with many, many other things in the past, so in a way it's a legacy award of the Mystery Ad Board game this week. Also, you know, keeping the Keith alive. That's it from me for another day. We'll be doing it all again on Tuesday morning from 10. I am obviously, well, not obviously, but I'm telling you now that I'm taking Good Friday and Easter Monday off. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, the official LBC app, where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com.
Veg out with Lidl's Easter pick of the week. Get bags of British carrots, white potatoes, swedes, spring onions, fresh green beans and deluxe Italian shallots, all just 15p each. That's a cracking Easter with Lidl. Now that's big on quality and always Lidl on price. Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only.